Right now.
History, a former U.S. president has been charged with multiple, 37 in this case, federal charges stemming from the investigation into his removal of classified material from the White House and his attempts to hide it from authorities. The indictment leaves little to the imagination. It uses photographs of boxes of materials, including the classified documents, stored carelessly in open locations at Mar-a-Lago, including a public ballroom, a bathroom, and spilled over a storage room floor. It cites detailed notes by Trump's attorney, audio tapes of the former president showing classified materials in two instances to people without security clearance, noting that, quote, as president, I could have declassified, but now I can't, undermining the former president's public defense that anything he took was automatically declassified.
Yeah, one of the problems that the president is going to face on this is that he's been making the argument that by just willing it, essentially, that he can declassify anything and that, you know, the papers that he owns are automatically safe for him to have just by virtue of his will and position as president. But as you heard there, John Dickerson from CBS saying that, you know, one problem is he had told somebody at one point that, you know, he could have declassified them, but he didn't, which means that he had lost the power as the former president, of course, but also that there's not just the mere possession and breath kind of way of declassifying things, but that he has to, if it's even possible, he certainly has to go through some kind of a process that would undermine the claim that just by virtue of him being the president, he would have the ability to do this. So that's one problem he has. The other problem is that, and there are a lot of problems here for the president. I originally reacted to this story like I think a lot of people did, which is, here we go again. You know, I mean, I'm not a, like, Trump train kind of supporter, and I know that, but I still recognize a pattern when I see it, and the pattern is, you know, the Russia hoax, impeachment one, impeachment two, the raid, the sexual, I mean, just kind of all of it. And it all looked like another example of Department of Justice or this administration's abuse of power. That's how it looked to me. And that's how, you know, his staunchest defenders had been taking it. And then over the weekend, I did what you do, is you pay attention to what everybody's saying. And particularly, I look for sources who I trust. And what are they saying? Or sources who I respect. And what are they saying? And, for example, Catherine Herridge, who is one of the best reporters that Fox ever had, and she left and went over. I thought she was somewhere else, but she's now at CBS anyway. And Catherine Herridge did, like, all your national security reporting for Fox. She was like, when Catherine Herridge was talking, you were listening, okay? Because she knew what she was talking about. Here's what she said on CBS.
Catherine, you've been doing reporting about the risk assessment, about just what was in these documents. Educate us on that.
Well, what jumps out to me, John, is when you go to the section on the willful retention of national defense information. By my count, there are 21 top secret documents, and the disclosure of top secret information has the expectation of exceptionally grave damage to national security. But what else stands out to me is some of the classified codings like TK or talent keyhole. You don't see that very often. That's about intelligence from overhead imagery. For example, if we're looking at a terrorist target, do we have such good visibility that we can count the hairs on their head? Can we see what they're eating for breakfast on their terrorist patio? Those are capabilities that we don't want our adversaries to know that we have. And then also special access programs, or SAP. These are highly restricted programs because of the sensitivity of the intelligence and the technology, such as stealth technology, for example. Think of classified information like the Pentagon. Special access programs are these handful of rooms where there's just a limited number of keys to control and restrict access to that information. Some of these are way beyond top secret. Like I said, talent keyhole, when you're talking about special access programs or SCI, sensitive compartmentalized information, these really are the crown jewels of the U.S. intelligence community.
So the nature of the documents themselves is very concerning. As anybody, and I know a lot of you have worked in these fields. I mean, we are the home Corey Station. We have a lot of current and former naval intelligence folks who live in this area. And, you know, whenever I hear them talking about this stuff, it's the same thing. It's a, you know, like this is really, really serious stuff, right? How you handle these things matters.
What happens if you're just a regular old Joe and you have this kind of information legally? What happens to you? What's happening?
Well, as one example, I have contacts who work in the nuclear weapons capability arena. Let's say you have a nuclear document. It's on top of a photocopier. You walk away. You leave it there. Your clearance is gone. You are out the door. There are immediate consequences.
And that's the level of information control that we're dealing with violations of here, as those, you know, they show you those pictures of the boxes on this little stage and the boxes in the bathroom. And, you know, you've seen this all over social media over the weekend, these boxes of documents all over the place. Now, it doesn't mean that every document in there is in violation. I mean, you know, very few of the documents by percentage are going to be in the, you know, classified or high, you know, any secret, top secret, you know, TK, SAP, and any of this stuff that they're going to be in that category. But any of them being in those categories and stored in that way is a problem. And that's part one. Okay, part one is the nature of the documents that he's got in his possession that he shouldn't have in his possession. Part two.
Well, what strikes me, John, in this indictment is I think the special counsel Jack Smith specifically charged willful retention of national defense information in an effort to sort of blunt criticism that these cases may be the same. If you go back to the summer of 2016, then FBI Director James Comey said that they found multiple email chains on Hillary Clinton's private server that she used for government business that contained highly classified information, including these special access programs that we just discussed. But in his view, it should not be charged because he didn't feel there was sufficient evidence of intent or willfulness. Critics would say that even just purchasing the server was an example of intent. And then finally, you have to look at just the scope of the information and also the timeline. But I think this charging of willful retention really is by design.
And that's the second part, right? The first part has to do with the nature of the documents. The second part is not just that he had them, but that he willfully kept them when they were appropriately being requested to be transferred back into government control when he's no longer the president. And he resisted and apparently tried to, you know, pursue avenues to basically deceive investigators that he had them, to move them around within the residence, to do whatever he could to keep them from getting at the documents. And that's where the, like, obstruction of justice kind of stuff comes in. It's one thing to have them on a server, to have them near your Corvette, to have them in your office, okay? It's another thing to have them and then to willfully, deliberately refuse to turn them back over once the government is looking for them or says that they're entitled to have them back. That's a whole different level, okay? So, you know, I know that it's very tempting to say, I myself am tempted to say, what's the difference between this and, you know, Joe Biden? What's the difference between this and Mike Pence? What's the difference between this and the Hillary server? Well, there are differences. Now, I still think there's room to say something like, well, if you're not going to prosecute particularly Hillary, okay, and, you know, certainly as we, you know, learn more about like what Joe Biden had, there's, you can at least raise that objection. It starts to look like you're uniquely treating President Trump differently. But then he has uniquely done things differently than the others have in not cooperating once the documents come to light. So, yeah, the mishandling is common among them. But here you have a willfulness, a deliberateness, a premeditation, a knowing that it's not supposed to be done this way and still doing it wrong. That's the real problem for Trump. He could have avoided all of this if when it was all found, he's like, oh, yeah, here, you know, oh, yeah, here you go. You wouldn't be able to make the case that this was different. And that's the issue here. The other person I heard talk over the weekend, I know this has made all the news, is Bill Barr, former attorney general. And he, I mean, this interview is devastating unless all you can say about Bill Barr is, well, he's a disgruntled former employee, which is, of course, how Trump is trying to attack him. I find Bill Barr, and I always have found Bill Barr, to be a very credible, very serious, very capable, admirable person. You know, the only difference is that, like many people, once he disagreed with Trump, he was on the enemy's list. Well, that doesn't mean that he's unreliable. That just means that Trump hates him. That's not the same thing.
It started out under the Presidential Records Act and the archives trying to retrieve documents that Trump had no right to have. But it quickly became clear that what the government was really worried about were these classified and very sensitive documents. I was shocked by the degree of sensitivity of these documents and how many there were, frankly. And so the government's agenda was to get those, protect those documents and get them out. And I think it was perfectly appropriate to do that. It was the right thing to do. And I think the counts under the Espionage Act that he willfully retained those documents are solid counts.
And he says, of course, as other people have said, you have to wait for the actual defense. You know, nobody's guilty until they're proven innocent. That's a key component here. But this is different from all of the other examples that people want to make this seem like it's the same.
I defend the president on Russiagate. I stood up and called out Alvin Bragg's politicized hit job. And I have spoken out for 30 years about the abuse of the criminal justice process to influence politics. But this is simply not true. This particular episode of trying to retrieve those documents, the government acted responsibly, and it was Donald J. Trump who acted irresponsibly.
So this is different than those other cases. And it's different both from the Biden-Pence-Clinton stuff, and it's different from the Russia impeachment, and sexual abuse allegations. It's just different from all of those, according to him, according to other experts, according to the facts as we understand them. And sure, again, until you put on a defense, you don't know what they might say. But even the claims that he has made that would seem to mitigate in his favor about his ability to declassify, for example, just are contradicted by evidence here. Even Alan Dershowitz, who has said he doesn't think that all of this adds up to much of anything, he said that the audio tape of Trump saying, you know, I could have declassified these, but I didn't, and now I can't. That's devastating. 522 on News Radio 92.3. So how does this all play out? I don't know. Nobody does. You know, nobody's quite sure. Is he going to get convicted? Is he going to be convicted before the election? Is he going to run from jail? You know, like, what exactly does all of this mean? I don't think any of us know. But, of course, he has said that this is all a bunch of nonsense.
The ridiculous and baseless indictment of me by the Biden administration's weaponized Department of Injustice will go down as among the most horrific abuses of power in the history of our country.
And, of course, that's the way it's going to work best for him to present this, is the people who are criticizing him are all enemies. And this is all just a witch hunt, an abuse of power by the Department of Justice, and that's all there is to it, which is why you wait for a trial. 522 on News Radio 92.3, but to just say this is all a bunch of hooey at this point, I think, is a misunderstanding of the actual facts as we understand them. 523 on News Radio 92.3, I'm Andrew McKay.
Hey, have you heard about the new Charter Academy at Pensacola State College?
No, what's so special about it?
Well, you can earn your high school diploma, transferable college credits, and an associate's degree all at the same time, and it's completely free. But hurry, because they're enrolling 11th and 12th graders now for August classes.
Wow, how do I get enrolled? Hi, I'm Karen McCabe, the principal at the Charter Academy. Give me a call, 484-2366, and visit us on the website, charteracademy.pensacolastate.edu.
I'm Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I learned about atrial fibrillation the hard way. My symptoms would come and go, shortness of breath, fatigue. I kept going. Then I got so lightheaded, I couldn't. My doctor said I have AFib, so I'm about 5 times more likely to have a stroke. Other symptoms, irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, can come and go, but the risk of stroke stays. If you have symptoms, tell a doctor. Visit notimetowait.com.
Sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
At Grainger, we're for the ones who pay attention to every little detail. The ones who fuss, tinker, and sweat the small stuff. Because you know the tiniest thing can make the biggest difference when it comes to keeping business moving. We get it. We're the same way. offering access to product experts to help you quickly and easily find what you need. So whatever your industry, you know you're always getting professional-grade products. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. Informative news and talk. Local news and talk. And dependable news and talk. Now on the FM dial at 95.3.
Honey, where are my pants?
Good morning, 525, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News, and over the weekend we had a couple of sporting events that were, you know, at least worth paying a little bit of attention to. One of them was the French Open. As is common on the clay, longer points, back and forth, side to side, up and back, drop shots, killers, and winners.
And I know he's trying to stay in the present, but you get the feeling that Djokovic senses it now.
Novak Djokovic, after getting broken in the second game of the first set, like you're watching this thing, you're like, oh no. Casper Ruud, who's trying to beat him, and Djokovic is trying to go for the all-time winner of total men Grand Slam events. At he was at 22, tied with Rafa Nadal, trying to get to 23. So in the very first set, it looked bad from the beginning, but he came back and broke Ruud in reverse, and then he won the tiebreak. I think it was 7-0, 7-0, 7-1 in the tiebreak. It was crazy. So he won the first set 7-6, won the second set 6-3, and then was all on serve, and he then broke him to go 6-5 in the third set, and then, of course, he served out and wound up being, in fact, the 23rd winner of a men's Grand Slam event ever, the most by a man. You still have, I forget her name. There's a one gal who's got 24, and there's, I think, Steffi Graf at 22, so... Unbelievable. These are numbers that you can't imagine them ever being passed. But then again, you would have never thought that Nadal and Djokovic would both sit at 22. I mean, shoot, Federer has 20. That's just the three of them playing all at the same time is unbelievable. Men's tennis has been fantastic for a decade or more. 527 on News Radio 92.3. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Over 40 million Americans on alert for possible severe weather this week. Some parts of the country, including Alabama and Georgia, already being pummeled by a line of intense storms. An American citizen detained in Russia has now been identified as Michael Travis Leak. U.S. Embassy officials have confirmed that man's identity and attended his arraignment over the weekend. Russian courts say Leak was arrested on drug charges. They're accusing him of engaging in the narcotics business. And... an overwhelming majority of Republicans apparently don't believe a felony conviction should keep former President Trump out of the White House. This is according to a CBS News YouGov poll. 80% of likely Republican voters say former President Trump should be allowed to serve as commander-in-chief if elected again, even if convicted on federal charges related to documents at Mar-a-Lago. That poll was released on Sunday.
Yeah, there's a... I will say, at the very least, some confusion among Republicans here. Utter hypocrisy is also fair for a lot of them. If you ever chanted, lock her up, you have to believe this is serious. And a lot of people chanted, lock her up. Now, you might say, well, lock her up, but if they're not going to do her, then they shouldn't do him. I understand. But that doesn't excuse the bad behavior. The whole point of the lock her up stuff was that she did things that were in violation of federal law, and she deserved at the very least to be disqualified from office, if not go to jail. I mean, that was the whole point of the lock her up chant. And so if you turn around and look at what Trump has done and you say, I mean, like, did you never mean what you said about her? Was it just personal and that was a convenient thing to attack her with? Well, they didn't treat... You got to believe in principles. Otherwise, the stuff you say doesn't matter. And you're just taking advantage of the opportunity to say whatever you want to say. So, David, thanks so much for the update. 437-1620, 437-1620. The Unabomber's dead. Ted Kaczynski is dead. Probably by suicide. Happy day. This is an evil man. I mean, it's just there's no other way around it. This guy would... He would send people bombs in the mail. He would put bombs in, like, the parking lot of places like computer stores disguised as other things where people would pick them up. He put them in, like, what looked like, you know, birthday packages and laid them in dorm hallways. And, I mean, this man killed people and maimed people. Evil. Deranged. Horrible. Will shed no tears over Ted Kaczynski being dead. And all for what? Because of his ridiculous anti-Luddite psychopathy? No, this is not a problem for me in any way.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Former President Trump's expected to head to Florida today ahead of tomorrow's arraignment in federal court in Miami. He says he'll plead not guilty.
He's been indicted on 37 counts related to the alleged mishandling of classified White House documents stored in various locations around his Mar-a-Lago estate in Palm Beach, Florida. The charges include 31 counts of willful retention of national defense information, with other charges related to Mr. Trump's alleged efforts to conceal the documents from federal investigators.
Fox's Jonathan Seri. Getting around Philadelphia is going to be harder for weeks or months. An elevated section of Interstate 95 is destroyed by a gasoline tanker fire underneath.
We're still working to identify any individual or individuals who may have been caught in the fire and the collapse.
Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro, Coast Guard crews are working to clean up the gasoline spill into the Delaware River. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. The Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office says seven people had to be taken to the hospital over the weekend. This is after an incident at the Nikko Japanese Steakhouse in Pace. Information has been going around online saying this case could involve possible exposure to narcotics. Those details so far have not been confirmed through the Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office. Deputies, though, are investigating what did happen with the Department of Business and Professional Regulations, and there's also a separate investigation underway with the Division of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. PPD looking for a suspect after a shooting that wounded one person downtown on Sunday. That happened early on Sunday morning. Officers say they received several 911 calls reporting shots fired near Jefferson and Government Streets. Officers say one victim was shot multiple times in a parking lot. That man now in critical condition and in a medically induced coma at a local hospital. And officers say the shooting appears to be related to a disturbance involving a large group of people. Reportedly, witnesses did describe a possible suspect to officers. And if you have any information on that, contact Pensacola Police or you can call Crime Stoppers. The first of two visitor appreciation days at the Naval Aviation Museum at NAS Pensacola coming up this coming Saturday. The museum will be raffling off gift baskets valued at more than $100 to visitors. They're also raffling off a Navy bomber jacket that's valued at more than $600. They've also scheduled a second visitor appreciation day next month. Former President Trump due in court tomorrow in Miami. The court date set after Trump's second indictment, this one related to the mishandling of classified documents at Mar-a-Lago. The former president and current candidate says he'll continue his campaign despite the recent indictment. An investigation underway after a fire destroyed a hay barn in Bratt on Saturday. North Escambia reporting that neighbors alerted the fire department after seeing smoke coming from the barn. The 6,000-square-foot barn was located at Sigafoos Dairy behind Northview High School. The fire reportedly damaged the barn, equipment, and the hay inside. Firefighters were able to get control of that fire, though, after several hours. It is 534 News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. Showers and thunderstorms through the morning hours, but things will be starting to clear up as we head into the rest of the day. Highs stay near 91 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 77. As you go into Tuesday, 30% chance of a stray afternoon shower or thunderstorm, high near 90 degrees. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 77. Stay connected to the Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEARTV Weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And right now we've got 76 degrees in Pensacola. It is 77 in Gulf Breeze and 78 in Milton. Our next news at 6, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
News Radio Pensacola is your trusted source for hurricane coverage. If a hurricane approaches, News Radio Pensacola will provide you with the latest forecasts and warnings from the National Hurricane Center. If a hurricane approaches, News Radio Pensacola will help you find resources for disaster relief. If a hurricane approaches, News Radio Pensacola will interview experts on hurricane preparedness and safety. No one covers the storms like News Radio 92.3.
Bands on the Beach is back. Bring a lawn chair or a towel and enjoy live music at the stage on Pensacola Beach. There's plenty of room to spread out and enjoy the sand, the sunset, and great live music every Tuesday night at 7. This week, the Astronauts will be rocking the Gulfside Pavilion at Bands on the Beach with their high-energy party tunes from the 80s, 90s, and beyond. Dance the night away at Pensacola Beach with Bands on the Beach. Remember, no pets and no glass.
Hi, this is Earl Ron. New South Window knows how unpredictable coastal weather can be. And that's why our windows and doors are designed to take on severe hurricanes and the most intense heat. They're built and installed by us, meaning better value and a lifetime guarantee for you. Give your family security that lasts a lifetime. And get New South proud.
Buy two of our products and get the third free. Visit NewSouthWindow.com.
When hurricanes approach, no one covers the storms like News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 537 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. On Thursday, the Naval Education Training Command on board NAS Pensacola, who oversees all of these training operations across the whole world, I mean, it's like 1,400 sites and 27,000 people that they oversee, and that's headquartered here on the base. That's our admiral in residence. We have one admiral on the base, a two-star rear admiral. Outgoing admiral, you had Peter Garvin, who was departing for the Naval War College, and then incoming, you had Jeff Cherico. That is how you say his name, Cherico, like Jericho the city with a CH, and we had a chance to talk with them on Thursday. Really interesting information.
So let's start with you, Admiral Garvin. How does it feel leaving this tenure here at NAS Pensacola?
Yeah, no, I would tell you it's bittersweet, right? And the reason is this amazing town, this amazing team that we have persevered through such tragedy, natural disasters, etc., and yet managed to recruit and train and forge these sailors so that they're ready to fight and win when the Navy and the nation needs them to. Very, very proud of that. Don't ever want to leave that. But as it goes, in very capable hands with Admiral Cesar Cherico, and I will look from Newport down this way, and I won't be a stranger. I'll come down and see you. But just know that you're in fantastic hands with my relief.
What are you looking forward to at the War College?
Contributing, continuing to serve. And again, as he said, it's all about the fight. It's all about the fleet. So how can we make sure that the education that we're delivering at the Naval War College is doing just that, preparing those thinkers for the fight and for the fleet.
So what will you remember the most from the last 3 years?
Gosh, that's a really tough question because, shoot, there's probably 100 things I could mention, but it'll be the people. And when I say the people I worked with every single day, the people I saw out in town at various events with the Dalians, with the Navy League, with whoever, this town is really special. And I wasn't just saying that up there. We've moved 17, it'll be 18 times Lived in a lot of Navy towns. Some of them are really awesome, but just nothing beats Pensacola. That's what I'll remember.
What's a piece of Pensacola you'll be taking with you?
Probably a lot of sand. it's funny. I think the first place I introduced you to was kind of a I can't say the name because that would be advertising, but let's just say it's a very laid back, casual waterside kind of atmosphere with food and beverages to match. All those memories, all those visuals, all those sensations. My wife and I have just come to again love this town. We loved it when we were first here. Love it even more now.
What's it like coming back to Pensacola, Caesar?
I was just thinking about that. So it was, I chose the very first date out of flight school, July 2nd, 1990. And I got here probably June 2nd because it was Pensacola. And that excitement about coming to be able to pursue your dream. And now I'm back 33 years later. It's incredible. And again, the big measure of success is how happy and excited my family is. I mean, I just can't believe it. And I'm really, really looking forward to this. And I've done many, many jobs, and when the guy you're replacing is smiling when he's talking about the job, not because you've walked in the door so he can give it to you, it tells you a lot about the caliber of the people we work with and, again, the environment. So when I look at it, mutually supportive with the environment in this Navy town, with my family and me, and then the job in this team, I'm just super excited.
It's back home for a pilot, right?
It is. Absolutely. Yeah, and again, I've been in and out of here a little bit with a couple of my kids getting winged out of here, and that gave my younger children a good exposure. So again, when I said we got to move instead of the aw, dad, they're like, Pensacola? You know, cheetah flips, like I said in my speech. So
the quote that you shared toward the end of your speech, yes. That seemed pretty meaningful to you.
It does. So there was a lot going on in my life a few weeks ago, a lot of happiness and a little bit of sadness based on some family stuff. And I sat there because I had these great plans to sit down and turn over with my friend Pete. And life got in the way of all those plans. And I've been ruminating on what it meant to be me. And that was the thing, you know, how do I fill the shoes of this man? And to listen to the presiding officer throw that speech out. And that wind is the unknowns, right? And that's why it just really resonated with me. I'm not going to get blown willy-nilly. I'm braced and I'm ready.
Eight kids will do that, right?
You get a lot of practice with cats, not necessarily trimming sails. So. No, I got wonderful children. Don't you dare show.
One of the things you said was that you have skin in the game, yes. And that has better prepared you for this job.
Yes.
And I have never heard it put quite like that. Talk about how Pensacola has where you're putting the skin in the game. What does this community mean to naval training?
It is absolutely a mutually supportive game. So I have also, well, he's moved 18, or about to move 18 times. I've moved 17 times. I've always found a place I've loved, but there are places where it's hand in glove and a mutual support aspect. That's this place. And it doesn't hurt, again, that I have such happy memories and I'm so excited to come back to this wonderful place. And then my kids who went through flight school here as well, and now we're back. I just think that supportive backstop, right, and that engagement and support with the community is probably the difference maker for all of this. That's going to help us who believe we have skin in the game continue to drive and have fun while we're doing it.
I like that. So. What would each of you say is the biggest challenge facing NETC that – you know, opportunity for growth and opportunity for improvement. What do you think, Admiral Garvin?
Yes, sir. What's the biggest challenge, sir?
Exactly. I would tell you, and these are not challenges that are insurmountable or in any way, ones that will prevent us from doing what we just said, which is preparing these young men and women to fight and win. But you always face societal challenges. You always face the recruiting challenge is really looming large. And that's not just the United States Navy. That's every service. And if you look at the labor market, you can see why. So the biggest challenge is, of course, finding and making sure that these young men and women know the opportunities that are here for them in our United States Navy. And then we build on that as we bring them in. We forge them into these combat-ready sailors, and then we owe them that sort of covenant leadership to ensure that we prepare them the best we possibly can so that they can do that and then come home. The biggest challenge I think right now that we're facing that I would probably put number one on his chart is the recruiting challenge, and that's going to be a whole of Department of Defense and a whole of government, really, kind of attack to get that done.
And for me, it's how would I address those challenges? And you heard a little bit in my words. I come at this from a different place, right? Same long career, both aviators by trade, but I've had different experiences. And so what I'm going to bring to this game is probably an orthogonal or 90-degree outlook. And I found most powerful when you've got such a great team who's working their butts off, say, hey, have you considered this? Because this is what I see. And sometimes that little, you know, tipper there can open it up. I call it and learned it from my friend Scott Kahn, you know, fresh eyes or fresh ideas, and that's it. So it's just attend to it, maybe through a different lens, and see what comes out of that. It's an amazing team. In the 2 days of deep turnover I had, and it was deep, we did an offsite here at the Officers Club. I told you this on the middle of the second or the first day. Again, pretty keyed up. And all of a sudden, I had this moment of peace because I realized this team is awesome, and I just need to make sure I think, right? Think and lead. So,
just one last question, Daddy.
It's not your command, but the Blue Angels are a nice backdrop.
Doesn't hurt.
Are you gonna miss? Are you excited to see?
My kids were on the beach yesterday at 10:30 or whatever, yeah. And they're like, "They flew right over me, Dad." I'm like, "I used to fly jets."
That is one memory. June 28th of last year, I got to fly in the back seat, ride in the back seat of the slot. Oh my God, it's so beautiful, but so violent.
Yes.
I mean, it's like being on the inside of a washing machine on spin cycle, but you're grinning the whole time. I mean, it's one of those really, really cool experiences. I recommend it to anyone.
Best trauma ever.
Yeah, exactly.
I would be remiss if I didn't ask if you wanted to expand on your flounder story.
Nope.
Okay.
Or your call sign.
Microphones. Or...
This interview is over.
Welcome to Pensacola.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
Appreciate you guys and what you do for the community. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's wonderful.
You bet. 5:46 on News Radio 92.3. One more time, it's Jeff Jericho is how you say his name. I've heard it pronounced all kinds of different ways. That's how you say it. Okay, like Jericho, the city with the ch. And all the best to Peter Garvin, who I assume will come back at certain times. But then Jeff Jericho is now the commanding officer at Naval Education Training Command. And, seems like a really solid guy. They call him Caesar. Caesar's call sign. What's the details? Won't tell. Which is always kind of a funny one because people get call signs for all kinds of reasons. Now I'm just more curious than ever. 5:47 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you're thinking about getting that next vehicle, I recommend Frontier Motors. Part of the reason is because of how they take care of you after you buy a car, like after they don't owe you anymore. You bought the car, they gave you the car, okay. But they follow up with you to make sure that you're happy because what they're selling is not just used cars, but like high-quality used cars. Like you don't need to get a new car because you can get a good quality car from them. And they stand by that. In fact, they aggressively go out of their way to make sure you're satisfied. They called me 6 months after I bought the van. Everything okay with the van? Yeah, everything's fine. Why are you calling me? it's kind of weird. I never had a follow-up call like this from a used car place, all right? And just checking, okay, fine, bye, awkward. And then a year later, our sales guy, Calvin, he calls me up. He says, everything okay with the car? And I'm like, well, one of the physical keys we tried and it doesn't work. The digitals work fine. The fobs work just fine. But if we ever had to get into it with the physical key, which you're never going to use, it doesn't work. He's like, oh, bring it in. We'll replace it. And I'm like, well, I'm sure you will for $150. He's like, oh, no, on us. You expected to get a car with two keys. You get a car with two keys. I brought it in, took about 10 minutes. They cut me a key and that was it. Okay, thanks. A year after we bought the car. And I have heard from other people how, they had some issue, whether it's a small issue or not a small issue, they take care of you because that's the point. They're selling you cars that are in like new condition and they stand by those cars. Now, I've never heard of a used car place that does business that way, but they do. That's why they've been around for more than a quarter century. Frontier Motors serving the Pensacola community right behind that big buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Pensacola, it's Judy Lacey with Barbieri Plumbing. We've been Pensacola's plumber for over 50 years. From leaking faucets to replacing sewer lines, we get the job done. My dad, Louis Barbieri, started this company over 50 years ago with a vision of providing the best service with honesty and integrity for our community. He also started our flat rate pricing system, where you know exactly what the job will cost before the work is done, so there are no surprises.
Last year, we were voted Best Plumbing Company and Pensacola's Best of the Bay. Voting has begun in this year's Best of the Bay, and we would appreciate your vote again. We know you don't always need a plumber, but when you do, call Barbieri Plumbing, 850-477-8782. That's 850-477-8782. And don't forget to like us on Facebook. Remember, Barbieri Plumbing.
License number RF1106-7749.
Summer season is here, and Florida summers can really be hot. But despite the warm temperatures, your garden can still produce some beautiful flowers and delicious vegetables. Get all of your garden tips from me, Mike Wiggins, on The Garden Line, heard on the Pensacola Expert Panel every Tuesday from 9 till 10, and an encore hour Saturday from 9 till 10 on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The Garden Line is presented by Barnes Feed Store, Pensacola Hardware, and Blue Sky Landscaping.
As a small business owner, what keeps you up at night? Just knowing if your email got hacked or your phone system went down, it could cost you thousands in revenue, as well as your reputation. That's where Data Revolution comes in, with their unique position to take care of you and your business IT support, phone systems, cybersecurity, and more. Secure it and sleep better at night by going to datarevs.com. Winner of the 2021 Best of the Bay for IT support, datarevs.com.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Hi, this is Todd Thompson, President and CEO of the Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel for the Chamber Connection Show that will keep you informed on what's going on with your Chamber of Commerce. Tune in at 10 to find out about our upcoming events, all of our different programs, and what's happening with our local business community. It's the Chamber Connection Show every other Monday at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic updates, but don't always have time to listen to the radio? Well, now you can get text alerts from the News Radio Pensacola app.
Your stunned silence is very reassuring.
Good morning, 5:52 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. It looks like that possible 2 out of a 5 scale is not going to directly affect us here in Florida this morning. It was kind of an overnight concern. Southern Alabama, however, is getting it real bad, and Southern Georgia, if you're over there east of Tallahassee, that kind of vicinity, and then up towards Vidalia, that's getting it pretty bad.
You're talking rain?
Yeah, rain and thunder and lightning, and you know, we seem to have a panache for like the crazy fast brewing storms here over the last few days. We actually ran into one in Jay over the weekend. My wife and I were biking Saturday morning, and she's like, "All right, we need to go now to avoid the rain." I'm like, "All right, fine." And we get like within about a half mile of being done, like from our car, and kapow. Like, it was blowing so hard that we couldn't bike in it. Like, so we got off and walked, and, you know, and it was raining and it was not great. And one of the sweetest things ever, this pickup truck passes us, stops, backs up, is like, "You folks need help." And we're like, "Oh, you're so sweet." No. And then it turns out it's a friend of mine on Facebook.
That's great.
Yeah, he texted me after we got home. He's like, "Hey, I got kind of a weird question. Were you in Jay today?" I'm like, "I was. Why do you ask?" He's like, "I was in the pickup." I'm like, "Aw." Y'all are the best.
This is the best area in the whole wide world for just reasons like that alone.
Just the sweetest
Many
ever.
Others,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Also, other stories from Jay. One is... All of the residential roads in Jay, you know, roads where, how to describe this? Like, there's no curb and gutter, but there's like basically enough room on this road for two cars barely to pass side by side, right? Mm-hmm. So they have, and they've all been recently resurfaced, and they have the brightest, most brand newest double do not pass yellow lines down the middle of all of them, like you would see on a 55-mile-an-hour highway,
right?
All through all of the residential areas of Jay, like on your street by your house. If they, because you know, like your street in front of your house has no stripes, right? Because you don't need them. But in Jay, all of them, and they're double bright yellow, and going up to like the stop signs and everything. I'm like, wow, they are serious about the no passing in Jay. And then, oh, by the way, remember we talked last week with Sam Mullins about the petroleum industry in North Santa Rosa and in the Jay area?
Yes, absolutely.
So, you know, my wife, she's just one who coordinates these bike rides. And so we're riding down this road and I'm looking at a bunch of more petroleum stuff. And then all of a sudden we come into this clearing and there's like a refinery in the distance. And I'm like, the what? And she says, oh, no, this gets better. We're going to see that closer. I said, we are. She says, yeah, follow me to the very, you know, coyly named Oil Plant Road that goes right off of Highway 4. Sure enough, there's a massive refinery just right there in Jay. You know, so I'll have a video for that up on our Facebook page eventually when I get it figured out. But I just, you know, all kinds of interesting stuff in Jay on Saturday. 5:55 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. So if I saw you and didn't wave, I didn't know you, but you could have waved at me. You know, either way. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Former President Trump set to deliver remarks tomorrow night in New Jersey after his scheduled arraignment. His campaign has confirmed he'll also be hosting a fundraiser for his 2024 campaign at his golf club in Bedminster. Former Italian Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi has passed away at the age of 86. Although no official cause of death has been announced, Berlusconi had reportedly been suffering from leukemia. And Saudi Arabia says they're seeking stronger collaboration with China during the Arab-China Business Conference on Sunday. The Saudi energy minister said they recognize that there is value in working with China, but he did go on and say that doesn't mean they won't collaborate with others.
Very good, David. Thanks so much for the update. 5:56 News Radio 92.3. If you're buying or selling a home, Christina Leavenworth. That's it. I'm done. Just that's all I got. Seriously. I mean, okay. Let's say you've heard me talk about her for years. And you're like, I don't know. Okay. Make your list of three. Okay, you got your one friend that maybe you go to church with or you know from Little League or something like that, and that's fine. Okay, and then you got somebody else that you've got on the list for whatever reason you've got, okay? And then put Christina on the list. So that's three. You know, have your three and then interview them and talk to them. You know, hey, trying to figure out who's the best person to go with for selling my home, for buying my home, whatever we're going to do. You know, tell me what you think. What's it worth? What's your strategy? What do you think we can get for it? And based on the answers they give, you hire the person you think is the most capable. I mean, that's a very reasonable way to approach it, right? You're talking about thousands of dollars potentially and making sure the deal gets done right in time, you know? Okay, so, you know, just interview. That's all. That's not even an endorsement. That's just add her to the list and you see what you think, right? You make your decision, okay? Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty, 723-9158, 723-9158. Again, you say ta-da. That's so funny. We've got the Pensacola welcome sign has been unveiled.
Oh.
Yeah. Have you seen?
No.
I guess you have not seen. Okay, so best way I can describe this is you're welcomed by the Pelican. There's and you don't notice this right at first in the designs. We're actually going to talk to Scott Salas from Dalrymple Salas a little bit later on in the show. But, you know, basically what you've got is, there's a pelican with one arm wrapped around a multicolored flagpole, kind of what it looks like, and it's going to light up and be bright neon. And then the other wing is open with a welcome to on it, pointing to the left. It's almost like a, you know, drive to the right of me. It's kind of how that looks. And then Pensacola, Florida, you know, and then it's got America's, what is the actual?
First settlement.
Right. And so.
And it looks Art Deco. It's gorgeous.
It's very Art Deco. And the thing you don't notice right at first is it's set in a context. And the context is that there's palm trees behind it. And there's a dock that it is actually part of, like it's sticking up out of a dock. And then there's like seagrass and greenery and lights all around it, like it's in the water. So it's a very, it's subtle, that part of it. You don't notice it right at first, but that is definitely a part of the design, is that it is coming up out of the water in the Welcome to Pensacola. So, yeah, this is a very cool design out of the, you know, 22 different submissions. See, now you look at it some more, don't you notice
it
more?
Yeah, I pulled it. That is gorgeous.
And it is, look, I think during the day,
It looks like the plants are like the United States shaped.
Yeah, it looks good during the day. I think at night is when it's going to really look fantastic. And, you know, they did it kind of to homage. Obviously, we have a lot of pelicans here, but pelicans all around town. And so, I don't know, it's pretty cool looking. All right, 559 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Oh, the Army's got themselves a new, not quite a tank. They've got a new smaller armored combat vehicle with a 105-millimeter cannon on it that's meant to be basically infantry support for difficult defensive positions. I will quote my son, the tank expert. He looked at it and he said, "Ew, looks like a French tank."